Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so thankful for you. I am thankful for you, our audience, who chose to join me today. There are so many other podcasts you could be listening to, and there are a lot of really good ones out there, including a podcast that's done by my guest and her husband. But I am thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast today because you are going to love our guest this week. She is back with us. Her name is Brooke Wayne, and many of you are probably familiar with her husband, Israel Wayne, but we don't hear a whole lot from Brooke. She's the quieter, I think, of the two. Well, if you've met Israel, you know that for sure. She's the quieter of the two. But she is a mama who is full of wisdom and experience, and we are just thrilled to have her with us today. We're going to talk about parenting this week. We're going to talk about patience as parents, about sibling relationships, and just some other things that go along with the things that we deal with as homeschool families on a day-to-day basis. And so I am thrilled that she is here with us. Before we get into our conversation, though, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. We are so grateful for BJU Press Homeschool. If you are looking for a really good, strong biblical worldview textbook, they have video courses that you can do with your kids. They have lessons that encourage critical thinking. They have lots of activities, everybody, everything, no matter what grade your child is in, no matter what subject it is that you're looking for, they have something for you. So check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com, bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Brooke Wayne, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. It has been quite some time. I think you were on with me maybe back in season two, maybe season three. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But we are now in season seven, which I cannot believe, just by the grace of God. And I am so glad to have you back with me to talk about parenting, because for those who may not know you, you have like a lot of kids. Like, you need one of those doormats. Have you seen those? You probably have, that says, a friend of mine had it. It was a front doormat. And it said, just so you know, there are like a lot of kids in here. And it made me laugh so hard. So you have like a lot of kids in your house. Tell us who you are. Introduce us to your family.
Oh, thanks so much, Yvette. It's just a joy to be on with you. And just that kinship of being able to share about parenting and homeschooling, family life. So I'm excited for today. So yes, my name is Brooke Wayne, and we get to travel once in a while with my husband across the country. So I know I've got to meet many probably of your listeners as we've gone across the country traveling, going go to homeschool conventions, doing homeschool seminars, that kind of thing. So my husband's a speaker. Because of that, I get to ride along and do some speaking myself at some homeschool conventions. And we wrote a book together called Pitching a Fit. I always forget the subtitle, Stressed Out, and If We Were Angry and Stressed Out Parenting. And it's just that idea of we want to overcome that. And it kind of was born out of some experiences that we'll get into a little bit later. But let me just tell you about myself. So I was actually a homeschooled student myself. My mom heard about homeschooling in 1983. I was five. And she said, okay, we are going to do this thing. From I am never going to homeschool to I'm homeschooling a half hour later into hearing about it. She was sold on the idea. And my dad said, if it's this good, we're going to do it all the way through high school. So we did. My brother and I both graduated and are both homeschooling our kids. So that's kind of a neat thing to see my mom's and dad's legacy there really going into the next generation. So yes, God has gifted us with 11 children. Now, you heard I had one sibling growing up. So the transition to large family life has been kind of unique for me. Sometimes I feel like I'm still trying to figure that out and how to manage that many and all that. But we're just so blessed. We're very, very grateful. You know, you take these children and God gives them to you. And yeah, there's hardships and there's difficulties, but it's a joy. It really is a blessing to be able to raise these children. So for reference, our oldest is 23. And then our youngest is 2.5. So this is the odd part for me. One day, my son came home from his job and they were trying to set him up with, I believe it was a 401k. And at that time, he was technically just under the age where you can do that. He was 20. And that very same week, I was trying to do some potty training with our 10th child. And just like that straddle parenting concept really blew my mind. So now we're back to potty training this week again with our 11th, and have our our third oldest child is recently engaged. So again, we're having a little of that mind-blowing experience, wondering how did we get into this? And enjoying the process, enjoying the chaos and the mess sometimes, and just the fun that comes with celebrations. We've really noticed when we have any kind of celebration, for instance, one of our children, they finish a math book, we always let them make brownies. And so everybody in the house is like cheering them on and clapping their hands and excited. But when it came to our son's engagement a couple of weeks ago, not only was our family just so excited and hopping up and down and putting banners and streamers everywhere, this other large family that my son is marrying into, with their 10 children all came up, and we had, children everywhere, 25 of us just all celebrating that. That was a lot of fun. That was just a lot of fun. So anyways, that's a little bit of our journey. We're still very much in that process of homeschooling and raising our children and getting to just see some of the fruit too. On the other end is our children are, some of our older three are now getting on with their own lives and all at home. Everybody's at home still. So our house is constantly noisy and packed.
You have a busy, busy household. And it's been such a delight to get to meet your family, as you guys have been on the road. We've been on the road sometimes at the same time. And so we've met up at several different conferences, and it's just been such a delight to get to know you personally, Brooke. I mean, you just are so sweet. You guys can probably hear it in her voice. She just has such a sweet demeanor. And so I love that. What I love that you just said, though, and you just like blew right past this. You said, I'm still trying to figure it all out. And when you said that, I thought, oh, it's so refreshing to hear that from a mom like yourself, who you've got grown kids and you're in the thick of it and you've got little ones. And so I think we're always in this process of trying to figure it out, because once we kind of figure out some things with one child, then we have another child who comes along who's completely different. Yes. And we have to figure it out all over again, right? But that first, that first child, we've got two. And so that first one, they're kind of the guinea pig, which is kind of a bummer. We have to figure out a lot of things the hard way with them. And right. I feel like with our second one, okay, we've got this somewhat figured out, even though personalities are different. Parenting in a lot of ways is very similar in how we're going to react to different things. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm in the same boat as you, where I'm still trying to figure it out and trying my best to not mess up my girls. Our oldest is now an adult, which just, I can't wrap my mind around that yet. Still, I'm like, she's just a little girl. She's only five. How can she be an adult? But she is. And we're grateful for what the Lord is doing in her life. But man, it is so, so very hard as we're going through this and trying to figure it out. And so one of the things that I know, recently we were with some friends of ours, and she's got three little boys, and her little boys are precious and rambunctious. Oh man, they couldn't be more boy. And she was sharing with me, and she says, sometimes I get so angry and so fed up, and I lash out at them, and I don't want to do that, and I don't mean to do that, but they just get to her. Right. And so I want to talk about that today for a little bit, in that how do we as parents, and maybe you can share some of your journey in learning how to be a patient mom, how to handle those times that come, because with 11 kids, I can imagine that you have many, many opportunities to practice patience with them. Talk a little bit about your journey and how the Lord has taught you and is teaching you in those moments of just like, what am I going to do? You're making me crazy.
Yes, yes. So I usually like to say, like I said, mentioned, I have one brother. So my family experience growing up was my mom was super organized, clean, the definition of a cleanie and a messy, she's a cleanie. And so when I started having children, I thought, no sweat, I've got this down. I know how to run a house. And I'd never done a lot of childcare beyond simple babysitting. And I was like, I love children. This is going to be great fun. So when our oldest was about six, we had four at the time. So, think six, four, two, and baby. I was starting to just feel the tension that comes with my hands being quite full. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to realize, okay, I need to kind of up my game here as far as managing these little ones, because it was such a learning process. And like I mentioned, kind of still am. But I remember this point that came up when my six-year-old, which, like you said, Yvette, they're like these guinea pigs. But my little oldest at that time was such a lawyer. He had such a mindset to tell, you know, okay, I've got it all figured out, Mom. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. And you need to get with my program. No, I'm the parent here. Reminding myself, I'm the parent. I'm supposed to be making these decisions about, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so I remember this particular point, he had decided he was going to be able to go outside. And it was a vast wooded area. I couldn't let the little guy outside by himself. I'm like, no, we're going to wait till the little ones wake up. And I'm washing dishes and trying madly to try to get stuff done. And he kept pressing that of laying out his little plans, you know, fine little six-year-old plans, but still not following in with what I knew the safety measures needed to be for our life at that moment. And I got so upset that I said to him, you're about to make me lose my temper. You know, I was just up to there. And I remember kind of pulling that back thinking, I never thought I would say that. And it's a little bit because I felt like I was a pretty laid back person. You know, I had this little, yeah, I think I've got this figured out sort of mentality. And it was a really mind blowing moment because I realized I really have an anger issue that I've kind of hidden behind of thinking, oh, if life goes easily and it's convenient and all that. And you have children, no matter how many children you have children, there's going to be inconvenience. It's just how it goes. There's going to be things that rock your boat, that they surprise you, that they disappoint you, that you feel like you can't scramble to keep up. And it just happens that I realized I need to really investigate this about myself. So it became kind of a several year long program for myself. I just delved into reading all what the scripture said about patience and just trying to seek into what do I need to learn here? Because at that time, I realized we could have a lot more children and have. And so I've got to learn something here. I can't be at a point where I'm just going to burst out and yell at a six-year-old. You know, like, how ridiculous is that? But that's how pent up I was about this. And so that was my journey. It started there. And I kind of had this theory in my mind, which I've since realized I'm not sure how valid it is. But I thought, okay, if one day I'm doing really well, let's say I'm super patient with my child and, you know, they do something wrong, but I'm just like, oh, my lovey, you cannot do this. Here's why. You have that special sweet moment that we all picture in our minds. Right. Of what this discipleship looks like, you know, the perfect scene where you're dressed perfectly and the you're sitting on the couch with your arm around your child and you're expounding to them what the scripture says, you know, for those of you with boys and unruly girls sometimes, right? They don't always want to just have that lovey moment where you're sitting and explaining to them. So anyways, I pictured, well, if I have the patience one day, then maybe I'm doing really well. And if I go, say, 10 days in a row and I'm doing really, really well, then I've really got something and I might start feeling good about myself. Like, okay, I'm finally getting the victory on this. A month goes by perhaps. And you're like, yes, I've got the victory. Then something happens, you know? Something happens, like the child uses your sewing scissors, or they throw out something, or they break something that's special to you, or they have that bad attitude and they stick up their tongue at you. You know, those things, they argue with you and you can lose your patience. I felt like you go from that high level of number 10 where you've got yourself doing really well, and then you shrink down to, say, a zero or one or something like that. You have to just keep climbing that ladder over and over, hoping someday you achieve something where you're staying up higher on that level. And that's where I really felt like that doesn't do me any good to realize that, to think that way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do me any, it doesn't help me in any significant way, because I'm always trying to pull myself up. And this is where I started realizing scriptures do say patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And if we're having that connection with the Holy Spirit, yes, even in our busy days, like even when your dinner is burning and the child's diaper is leaking all over and the six-year-old's arguing with you and you're stressed because the bills need to be paid, those are the moments where the Holy Spirit wants to use us and fill us with that that patience that we so much need. So I kind of came to a point where I realized I can't have this like measure on myself where I'm like, oh, I'm doing really good, so good on me. It's all about the Lord and all about our investment with Him. So that's where my journey started. And not always easy, not always pretty, but I'm thankful because God always brings back opportunities for us to learn and to grow.
Yeah. It's funny. I was just talking about this the other day. I never pray for patience because if you pray for patience, the Lord will give you plenty of opportunities to practice that patience. I do pray for wisdom, but I rarely pray for patience. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children." If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Brooke. Before the break, you were talking about how just the Holy Spirit works in us to give us what we need in order to be able to deal well with our children. And that is absolutely the truth. We can't do this without Him because our own sinful nature just comes through. It's, as you were saying, it's easy when it's easy, right? When our kids are being obedient, when they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, when all is well in the world, it's easy to think, man, I've got this all together. I'm so good at this mom thing, but it's as soon as that tide turns and those kids start fighting with each other or just being disrespectful or disobeying, or you tell them to go right and they go left. I mean, there are so many things that just cause us to get angry and frustrated with them. Yes. But I think all too often as parents, we tend to kind of excuse it. We excuse the behavior in ourselves because, well, they made me upset. They disobeyed. They did this. And so I had no other option but to react this way. And it really does come down to what does our relationship look like with the Lord? What is the Lord doing in our lives? And are we using the self-control that we're asking our children to use? And I see that so often. You see parents yelling at their kids because they're so angry with them for misbehaving, and they're upset that their kids are not self-controlled, and then the parent themselves is not self-controlled either. And I'm thinking, well, you're demonstrating that exact behavior for your child, but in an adult way, you know? So how have you, as you look at your kids, because again, it's so funny actually, when you're like, you know, I thought I'm going to lose my temper, and you said that out loud. Well, obviously, there are many parents who do lose their temper. They don't just say out loud, "You're going to make me lose my temper," but you're a very very calm person. Every time I've met you, you're just very soft-spoken. You're very calm. You know, not that you always are all the time. Not that you can't get riled up, I'm sure. But then you've got those, you know, the people who are loud and boisterous, and they really want the world to know what they're thinking about and how they're feeling about situations. So let's address that parent for a minute.
Yeah.
And that, yes, I mean, they certainly need to have a right relationship with the Lord. But have you experienced that with maybe friends or even kids, with 11 kids? I'm certain you have a handful of them who are not super calm. They want to be heard. They're those strong-willed ones. How can you encourage that mom who's like, yeah, I'm just not as soft-spoken as you, Brooke?
So one of the things I've laughed at myself is I actually don't like the word patience. And I feel bad because it's a fruit of the Spirit, right?
Sure.
But it's such a soft-sounding picture or word. And so when I think about it, I think of going into a Christian bookstore, which, of course, there's so few left, but
sure.
There's one in Michigan, and I think of those frames they have where they've got a beautiful picture of a field with daisies and butterflies. And it says in this soft, you know, scripty thing, it says patience, or patience is the fruit of the spirit. And I always laugh because what are you supposed to do with a picture like that? Yeah. You know, you go and look at it when you're angry and think, oh, I want patience. Do you look into it and think, well, if I was in that field with the butterflies and the daisies, then I would feel calm. And again, it comes to that. Where is patience? Is it when it's convenient and when it's all soft and lovely? Or can it thrive in our homes that sometimes, you know, they feel a little bit like we're in a pressure cooker because we're bouncing around with like multiple personalities and we're trying to help these imperfections, imperfect people, our weaknesses are coming into play. You know, our desire for even good things like a clean house. And people not picking their nose and them not yelling at the neighbors next door and all these things that we think, okay, you need to be on with your schoolwork. You need to be practicing your music lessons that we're paying for. You're not supposed to be arguing back. All these things that maybe even one of them we go, oh, that's not that big a deal. To compound them and then just the normal stresses of everyday life and keeping up with everything, compound all that. And I want to have the kind of patience that thrives in that pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. And you bring in just things like lack of sleep or whatever my own issues might be. And we see our tensions going up, our stress levels going up. That's where I feel like patience is the word the scripture used. So I'm going to use it. But I think we need to realize it doesn't have to be soft-spoken. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be mousy. And it doesn't need to be a pushover. And so I come to this situation, and sometimes it's a tension, but we realize the scriptures say sometimes that we need to confront others. We need to do it in a loving way. We do need to confront others, speak the truth, but speak it in love. And I think that's an area where there are those of us with bigger voices or, and I'm not promoting yelling in that, but I'm just being, a louder, sure, more rambunctious, more lively, expressive way for some of us that doesn't need to be necessarily set aside. Maybe it needs to be refined, just as all of us do with every different personality. But there's ways that God has gifted you an expressive way to speak to your children, your family, that aren't necessarily bad. But it needs to be coupled in a very strong way with patience. We think of the Holy Spirit, patience as soft, but you know, the Holy Spirit is not weak. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And so that asking the Lord to use patience in our lives can be expressed in a powerful way. So here's how a little bit of that can go. It doesn't mean we shy away from sin issues and say, oh, well, I don't want to get into this because I might blow it. You know, that's not good. This is a living, breathing thing to work in relationships and dynamics with our children. Mm-hmm. So what we need is God's patience to come invest into that, not just shove off life and say convenience and peace at all sake, because sometimes there needs to be that rumbling that happens, that unearthing of issues and all that, that direct speaking to our children so that we can help them grow in the Lord. So this is where it kind of came to me and just was so powerful in helping me. As James 1:20 says, it is not by man's work, it's not by man's way in anger that God's purposes are going to come out. And so God's purposes in my life and for my children are so near and dear to my heart. Having God's work in my children is like what I would die for. And so when I want to see his righteousness born in them, I'm so willing to do anything that I am very willing to apply a good dose of motherly anger to see that happen.
Sure.
And yet the scriptures are clear that man's anger is not going to bring about God's righteousness. Yeah. And I think for me, that's where I've had to sit back so many times and realize what I'm trying to do is help them swallow the Bible and help them become these angelic little beings. And yet God's word is clear. It won't come about from what I have thrust upon them, what I have in anger introduced to them. And sometimes as parents, unfortunately, we see a little sliver of hope when we raise our voice and we apply a little anger and all of a sudden our children run around and clean up their rooms or they shape up a little bit and we think, oh, we won. And yet it's a falsehood because when we lay that anger in the way that we have treated them and the way that we have talked to them, we are bringing about for ourselves rejection and for them not following the Lord later on. Not that it's all on your shoulders necessarily, sure, but I'm saying a lifelong pattern of that that brings about destruction for your children in terms of their faith, in terms of the relationship you have with them, that influence you have with them. So when I want to see God's righteousness, I look at, okay, what works here? What really works? What does scripture say works? It's not my anger. And that for me is going, okay, that means it has to be that soft word, patience. Doesn't need to be soft, but it's that word that I go, okay, it needs to be that patience. And it can't be like I'm introducing God's righteousness with my anger. It's got to be with patience. And so I think for those with a more rambunctious sort of, maybe you speak more, like I always think, how do people not think about everything that they say? I'm an overthinker. I think about everything I say way too much. But for those who maybe start speaking, maybe you do need to have some parameters. You look at yourself and go, maybe I need to take a few minutes to calm myself. Look at ways that are going to be something that brings about good results for you. Singing a hymn, having a prayer moment, going off and just having a quick walk, even something that's going to bring about some just coming back to a little more calm state for you. Those might be actual things that help. Some things that aren't going to help are some stupid things I've heard, such as slapping yourself with a rubber band.
Oh.
Or pinching yourself, or, you know, doing some self-destructive thing. Like, those things don't do anything. You know, we're trying to treat something on the inside of us. Some little outside thing is not going to do the job that's needed there. And sure. So having that time, and then just having some parameters. So much of the time we think that parenting is supposed to come naturally. Yes, there are good natural instincts that people have, mothering in particular, right? Hearing that baby cry, we're like, oh yes, I need to go help that baby. But then there's things that we think are going to come natural, and they don't. What comes natural is our desire, our deep love for ourselves, that convenience, that having it all go smoothly, even having our children look good for our sakes. And, you know, if you've been a parent for more than 2 years, they're going to embarrass you.
They're
going to embarrass you so well. And so there's going to be those moments that happen where it hits into your self-love, and our desire needs to be for our child's sake. So just laying aside, I'm not going to react based off of how I feel, off of my inconvenience, off of my embarrassment, or my anger that this has had to be repeated so much. But I'm going to respond out of love. I'm going to respond teaching my child the right way. I'm going to respond in a way that helps them grow from this point, not just as a punishment for what's happened, but actual like training for what comes ahead.
Brooke, that is so good. I am so enjoying and so encouraged by you. I love talking about this stuff. We're going to come back on Wednesday and continue talking about this. And I would love even some more practical ways just to parent, man. I mean, how do we do this? How do we do this parenting thing? And how do we do it well? How do we do it effectively? And how do we do it in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord? And so we'll come back, discuss those things. Brooke, really quickly, tell people where they can find out about you and your husband, Israel, and your ministry.
Yes, you can look us up at familyrenewal.org, O-R-G, and you can also look up israelwayne.com.
Okay, we'll put those links in the show notes. And Brooke and Israel have written a book. It's called Pitching a Fit. We will put links to this book as well. There's so much great information in that book. Brooke, thank you for being with us today. And thank you guys so much for listening. We are so grateful for you. If you've not yet watched the movie Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution, you can watch it for free. Go to our website, schoolhouserocked.com. We also are so grateful for any support you can give financially. You can donate through our website. Just click that donate button so that we can continue doing this ministry and serving the homeschool community. We love what we do, and we can only do that through the generosity of our listeners and our sponsors as well. So thank you so much for those who do that. We love you guys, and we will see you back here on Wednesday. Stay tuned to the very end to hear a clip of what's coming up next. Bye. As parents, our greatest hope is that our kids will grow up to be followers of Jesus Christ and live out God's call on their lives. But you also know the world makes it challenging to follow Christ faithfully. That's why I'm so excited about Summit Ministries. Their student conferences give teens and young adults reasons to trust the biblical foundation you've laid for them. Our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, is super excited to go this summer. And if you have a child ages 16 to 22, they can attend a Summit Ministries student conference this summer as well. Get a $200 discount on their in-person conference by using code SCHOOLHOUSE24 at checkout and receive an additional $200 off with their early bird discount when you register by March 31st. Visit summit.org/schoolhouse to learn more. That's summit.org/schoolhouse.
Our culture really looks down on the homeschool mom who is in her home, sweeping up the crumbs, telling children the ABCs over and over again. She's wiping up the table. She's doing all these things. And the world looks at that and says, anybody else could do that. You should use your gifts, your education to further the world, to serve in your community, to make a difference. And this is a lie. It's just an outright lie. Our culture is saying that the people, the eternal souls that God's gifted us to care for, are not important. And I really find those sweet, tiny little moments when they're itty-bitty, you know, the potty training moments, the wiping the noses, the going through the alphabet, those build such tight bonding relationships. Later, when they're teenagers, you have an element of influence to speak into their hearts about the truths, about the gospel. And I think this is a mission field. So I really want to tell moms, do not look down on those moments.